of the special meeting July 2nd of the Bolton Finance Committee. And it is 7:18, and we have members of the committee present: Ross Ollie, myself, chair, Amanda Gordon from Board of Selectmen, Robert Mora from Board of Selectmen, Ashley Phelan from Board of Ed, and Rhea Klein from Board of Ed, and we have member at large Tyler Egner online. And then we also have present in the room David Caruso, the new superintendent of schools, Rodney Fournier, first selectman. And then we have Lori, our town tax collector. And then who else do we have online? Mary, our clerk. And then we have some members of the public. So now that we've done the call to order, I will start off with any public participation.
Well, we could start a public participation. Since it stems from public participation.
I'm not seeing any hands online. And if you did, if you are online and want to speak, star 6 to unmute. And otherwise, we're going to go on to our ongoing business. And it's consider and possibly act on a temporary mill rate. I met with Jill Collins, who is not here tonight, and she mentioned, I went over, you know, what we had agreed to on our last meeting, which was to recognize unofficial revenue of $285,000 and also reduce capital spending by $227,000. And after taking a look at that, Jill did her calculations and came up with, you know, assuming that we have a tax collection rate of 98%, our grand list, you know, for the information below, the new proposed mill rate for the entire grand list at 98% is 31.96. The state cap for motor vehicle mill rate is currently 32.47, so we will be below. You know, the mill rate, you know, for the mill rate cap for automobiles. So,
which for the public means that the mill rate for automobiles will be also be 31.96.
Yes. And for the public, it also means that we will not have any revenue from automobile taxes returned to us next year, because they typically will do that for anything that's above the, you know, the cap. So,
the other thing I think we should explain for people that may be listening is that when she says the entire grand list at 98%, that's an assumption that we're going to collect 98%, which is an assumption that we build in every year and is no different than
any of
the past.
So considering that tonight we do need to set a temporary mill rate, and that the mill rate is, for the next year is looking like it's, if, you know, assuming the budget pass will be 31.96, I guess my question to the finance committee, would it be prudent to set a temporary mill rate at 31.96 mil? So discussion.
Yes.
I'm okay.
About setting mil, number one, the question is, do we have to set that mill rate tonight, or can we wait until after the budget referendum?
Timing standpoint, in order to get the mailer sent out, that we
that's
would
fine.
Have well, that's to why we have our Laura, tax collector.
I'd prefer not to if we didn't have to, but
well, timing wise,
yes.
Timing wise, we're looking at bills being out in the mail or being received by taxpayers probably by around, I'm guessing, the 21st-ish, if we pass the mill rate tonight,
based
on this. If we wait till the budget referendum,
which is 2 weeks. They're until August.
We would be getting the bills out probably right before August 1st. We'd probably be able to do that.
So you would get it out before the first.
Yeah, we would have to. Yeah, we would have to because they set the due date for August 1st. So we would have to.
Right. And by they mean the Board of Selectmen last night set the due date.
Set the due date.
Okay. Right. Why is there such a gap between the bills in the 21st if the mill rate's passed tonight and less of a gap?
Well, we have 4th of July
weekend.
Okay. And, you know, our assessor's only here, you know, Tuesdays and Wednesdays.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, just thinking of hopefully sooner. Hopefully we'll be beginning. But I'm just thinking, you know.
The outside is
the
longest is that it would be. You're giving us the longest date, but it may be sooner.
Right.
We would have to make sure that they would be out in the mail before August 1st.
All right.
I just don't see that big of a difference between the 21st and August 1st, where I'd rather wait.
Right,
I would rather. They do August 1st, but they have 30-day grace, 31-day grace period.
The only thing is, though, is if the mill rate, the proposed mill rate that's going to referendum is going to be the same, it probably doesn't matter so much. If we were going to hold off on doing the bills at a later point, which I don't think we're going to be able to do.
The latest I think we would be able to hold off would be our next meeting, regardless of whether the budget passes or not.
Yeah.
So if we didn't do it tonight, then
it would be do it right after the...
Because we need to get the revenue to start coming in.
Right.
I mean, there's a couple scenarios, right? One, you pass a temporary mill rate tonight of this 31.96, right? Referendum fails. We have to make another cut. We don't have enough time to get bills redone or out before August 1, then we owe a credit to people. Scenario 2, you set the mill rate lower than the 31, temporary mill rate, sorry, lower than the 31.96 at maybe the effective rate of last year, which was the 30.84. Budget doesn't pass, bills go out, we end up having to do a supplemental. Or there's a third scenario, there's other scenarios, right, where we set it at 30.84 tonight, budget doesn't pass or passes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then we can set it at the 31.96 on the 16th and hope we get the bills out on time, right? Like there's many, many different ways we could swing this. We're trying to avoid a credit or a supplemental.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And me too.
Right.
Absolutely.
So
I don't want to go that route.
So it sounds
but according to, I'm sorry, but we need money, right?
Yeah. Correct.
Yeah. So,
and why do we need money? We need money because money in the bank is running low and we need to be able to pay our bills. For the public.
You need the money in the bank in order to pay our bills, but also to keep it at a level where it's gaining interest.
Yeah, but
so we don't lose that.
We did, you know, we based part of our budget estimate on having a certain level of interest. And so that's an issue.
The due dates have already been set for the tax bill.
Right.
Correct.
Right.
Yeah.
So tax bills have to go out for August 1st, regardless. So if, unless there's a question to the proposed mill rate for this referendum as to the 31.96, if it's not going to be 31.96, I would just set the temporary mill rate right now at 31.96 so we can start the bills now rather than later.
But if it fails and we have to cut, are you going to have time?
Have time to modify.
If we change the temporary mill rate lower on the 16th.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Right, yeah.
Oh.
To avoid having to pay credit.
That would be my question.
If we set it now, the most likely scenario would be lowering it.
At that? Wow. Mm-hmm.
Because I would feel more comfortable if we were able to, if we could, not set this and set it the date after the referendum.
Yeah.
This way we're guaranteed, this is it. We don't have to mess with it one way or the other. And
hopefully.
Statistically, I feel more positive about it, and what we've done, I feel more positive about it.
When you look at the charter, it just says that we have to we have to set one at the beginning of the next fiscal year.
Right.
We don't, you know, if it doesn't pass at the end of the current fiscal year, it doesn't specify a date. I think what we're driven more by is when the tax bills go out, and keeping a balance high enough to get interest. But
can I ask you all to do me a huge favor, like humongous favor?
Go ahead, keep going.
If the budget passes or fails, would you be able to meet Tuesday night and
it? He's a registrar.
I'm not here.
Oh, you're not.
We can meet the next day, though.
We're meeting the day after.
Yeah.
What's the difference?
That's the reasoning behind it is our assessor is not here
on Wednesday,
Thursday.
Well, maybe we can make arrangements for swapping out sometime.
Yeah, because
I mean, I think
that's 2 weeks, so I think that would be a
good. Yeah, we could do Wednesday that. I'd rather work something to swap her out to get her here that day.
We also don't have to meet any.
She's just working another town.
Huh? Yeah. We don't have to meet at nighttime.
I'm sure we can work that out.
Yeah.
Or we could do a morning meeting.
There's also the plus. Yeah, we could do a meeting the next morning.
If people are available. I mean, Ashley and I work if I'm working.
Wednesday.
Yeah. We could do Wednesday morning.
Yeah.
That would be the best. Wednesday morning, then you've got the data right away. So you could do an 8 o'clock or 8:30.
I would just need we would need the budget letter from Jill. Yeah,
we can do all that one time. I'll do all that in the morning.
Yeah.
What's the budget letter from Jill?
It just says what the mill rate, the temporary or not temporary.
So then there's a couple of people that we need to make sure would be available. It sounds like one is the assessor, the other one is Jill. You know, both of them
would be on Wednesday, right?
She's on Wednesday.
Wednesday she's there, so she'd be there.
She hasn't come in till
she was afraid that we would meet till Wednesday night, and this way
well, the assessor comes in later in the day. No, she comes in the afternoon.
No.
Well,
no.
She'll be there like 9:30, 10.
Yeah, so she'd be here.
Okay.
So we can meet in the morning. We're good with her.
But we can meet before. We don't need her to be there.
We know
at our meeting.
No.
Because
10:30
is kind of an inconvenient middle of the day. Yeah, assuming I'm still working at that point.
I know.
No, for us, early in the morning would be the 8 o'clock would be super.
Yes,
I just checked my schedule. Other than
not having that night, you got to
do it. Oh, I'll just get up. I can't guarantee what the condition are.
Excuse me, can I ask a question?
Sure.
Yeah. For clarification, so the mill rate based on this is the grand list and the proposed. This is based on the budget.
What we're voting on now.
That's 31.96.
Correct.
Yep.
You do not want to have credits, right?
Right.
We don't want to have credits, so we don't want to ask for more.
No, we really
another assessment.
So that's you're picking
tax bill.
The exact number that. So
we're trying to not set a temp bill rate tonight at all.
And wait till that.
And if it passes, we set it at this.
After
the mill rate that you're looking at is associated with the budget that we agreed to and I signed off on at our last meeting.
If it doesn't pass, however, we are going to need to set a temp mill rate that is not this.
Exactly.
And figure out what that number is, which is
then I would
probably go 30.84 and end up doing supplementals if we needed to.
So we should also. So we also should plan that this meeting may not be like a 5-minute meeting.
30.8.
At 8 o'clock. If we do it for 8 o'clock the next day, if the referendum passes, the budget passes, then that's great. We're done in about 10 minutes.
Right.
If it doesn't pass, then we have another discussion.
Right.
Like we've had the last time, and that's about an hour or so.
Yep.
So Jill would absolutely need to be there. We would need superintendent and Jim.
Yep.
Does Jim work at 8? Can Jim work at 8?
Oh, yeah. I think he can, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, if it's important, I'm sure. Yeah, I mean, he's always here by 8:30.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I can be pretty flexible, but I have a really important meeting at 11. But
so if we figure it out.
My team will just be happy if I'm still at work on that day, so.
Could you tell me again what's the date for this week?
The 16th.
The 16th.
16th. Okay. And what time?
8.
So at our last meeting, we voted to have them we voted to have the meeting in the evening, so we should need to then vote on having it changing the time of the meeting from 7:15 on the 16th, 7:15 p.m. to 8 a.m. after Rodney checks the book.
Just no matter where we're going to be, but I'm sure.
I mean, worst case, it could be all Zoom.
Yeah.
So we should have a notification period is certainly easy enough to
be. Right, sure is.
48 hours.
Because we'll be setting it now.
Right.
And could post the agenda next week easily. Yep.
Good.
Okay.
Okay. You can hold it right here.
So then what I'm hearing is let's delay setting the mill rate until that the temp, you know, the setting of setting the mill rate temporary or final until our next meeting, which will be after the vote on the 15th of July. So we're proposing 8 a.m. on the 16th for the budget discussion.
You want that as a motion?
Let's just break. So do we've decided not to do anything with the mill rate until the next meeting. So do we, I don't know if we need a motion for that so much because we don't have to we're just going to have a motion to to set the.
Right. For that day, that morning.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'll make a motion to move the meeting time on July 16th from 7:15 p.m. to 8 a.m. at the town hall and via Zoom.
And to say either a temporary or permanent mill rate, whatever
you sound like.
I'll second your motion then.
Okay, motion made by Amanda, seconded by Bob. Any further discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes unanimously by all voting members. So as part of this discussion, too, there's other things that we need to get ready for that date, too. Like we have communications and stuff. And this I'm putting in as part of our discussion on, this is related to setting and acting on the mill, right? Because all we did now was just go and set, the meeting. So we still need, what other, communications and other things have to happen relative to doing all this? Because I know, Amanda, you had a number of suggestions for things. I have to do a summary.
Okay. So following the last meeting in an attempt to take in the feedback from the public, I did what I said I wouldn't do and I created my, communications materials. So I'm back into my sucker role again. So someone had asked for a simple summary of the budgets and basically what happened. So this I pulled together tonight. So it basically starts with the current referendum and goes backwards. So this would be the referendum number 4, which is pending. And so since I don't have Jill's budget doc yet for this, I just pulled together what I thought was the most important information, which is the total proposed budget based on our last meeting, the individual budgets by type, difference from FY25 percent change, and then this part of the budget doc that Jill pulls together, which is the adopted mill rate for last year for both property and motor vehicle, the proposed mill rate, which is this 31.96, and then the effective mill rate, and showed the percent change, the true change in the percent change based on those values. So the number 31.96 is actually a decrease from the adopted mill rate of 0.78, a 2.8% decrease from the effective mill rate, which is the rate that we use to calculate the return of revenue. It's a 1.1% increase or 1.12 increase, which is a 3.63% increase.
Yep.
So then if you go down, you'll see this was referendum number 3. It failed. This is the vote that it failed by. It was based on a budget approved by us on June 11th. This, I just took a screenshot from Jill's document because that was easier than me typing up all this crap again.
Right.
I got lazy a little bit.
That's smarter.
And then this is following the failure of referendum number 3. These are the changes we made at our last meeting. And so that people would understand exactly what we did following the failure. I'm not going to go over it. We all know what these were. And so I did the same thing for referendum number two. Following the failure of referendum number two, we made these changes, reduction in expenses, recognizing unofficial revenue. And I did the same thing for referendum number one. This was the budget. These are the changes we made after that referendum failed, so that people could track the changes we made over time. I thought it made sense to go most recent to oldest, but
yeah, it is.
We could change it.
Nope.
Okay. So this is as simple as I could get. It's longer than two pages, but I've made it.
There's nothing else.
I made it bigger because I think Rodney yelled at me last night and said, the font is too small. I can't read it. So,
we
zoomed it in.
Thank you for taking the time.
The other thing that I pulled together, which was instructions for the staff, is that I would like everything to be posted on the budgets part of our website, which is actually at the bottom of the finance committee page. You hit budgets and it takes you here. So my proposal is that the following documents get posted under a header of 2025-2026 proposed budget or budget process, I said, and that they post the following documents. So the proposed budget that Jill is going to pull together for referendum number four, the document which I just showed you, which is referendum history and budget changes made. This is no longer true because I finished it. The finance committee budget two pager, which we sent out originally before the first referendum, just so that they can see it. The Board of Selectmen public hearing presentation, the Board of Ed public hearing presentation, the finance committee public hearing presentation, the Board of Education proposed budget, which is on the Board of Ed website, but to put it all in one place. And then all of our detailed information from the Board of Selectmen budget workshops should go up there, so that people, because I was told there was no single place. And like every time the budget fails, the materials that are at the top of the page disappear. And people are like, where do I find this? And it's just, you can't. Like, I had to ask Ross to send me those ones to get the screenshot.
Because I know they disappear.
Right, right. So that's my proposal for what goes on that page of the website. So that way we can just direct people to that page of the website. And it's, at last time I asked for this, I was told we can't do this because we can't create another budget page. And I said, we already have a budget page. So I'm hoping that because I'm adding to an existing page, this should be feasible. Okay. Sue Ellen already has this. I don't know that she's made any strides on it or started working on it.
On what?
Jim was up on the web page.
Header.
Onto the web.
2526.
Yeah, adding all these documents to the budget page. She should have all these.
Under a different file called 25.
Under different header.
Header.
Called 2526 budget process.
Is everything that's in there under headers already, or is the whole thing gotta be started?
Well, I mean, I can navigate to.
Just go look at the page.
Yeah.
So on the budget page, it's just the budgets that have been approved in the past. So it's literally one header, one document, one header, one, well, a couple documents, I guess, but it would just be a new header at the top that says 2025-26 budget process with all those links.
Okay.
So right here.
Set up that way.
Yeah. We just have the adapted ones. We don't have it.
Understood.
Yeah. Right. You'll just have a little bit more because it's in process.
And then once it gets approved, you remove all that stuff. And yeah.
I think that's right.
And every year we can do it here so that it becomes more predictable.
It's there.
So does that sound like plans?
Great.
Yeah.
Did you want to talk about Chris's stuff?
I was just going to say,
I haven't either.
Digest all of that and then put it close.
So the other one just, Chris Davies also was kind enough to volunteer to kind of make a summary looking at our budgets over since 2000, fiscal year 2001. And he converted them from, used information from state of Connecticut to go and adjust everything into May 2025 dollars. So you could see the actual fat purchasing power of the budget over 25 years. And if you look at it, it's basically we increased about from 2000 to 2001, the budget increased about 12% till 2020. So it's about 0.47, you know, compounded rate per year. So it's half, less than half a percent, you know, in increase of the budget above, you know, inflation. And then in 2020, COVID hit. And in recognition of that, we hacked the budgets. They've dropped over the next 2 years by a little over 7-8%. And so now they're just starting to go up just a little bit again, like a half percent a year above inflation. So the budgets have really not done anything extravagant. If you look at them, there's no wild, you know, spending going on. And if you trace some of them, you can trace it to bonding issues that are related to work on the schools and so forth when you look at it over time. So the question was, do we want to include that? If you have it up there?
I can pull it up. I haven't had a chance to.
Yeah, he's got the latest version of it.
I think I opened the latest version. Yeah. It's from his last email.
I just wanted to edit some of it slightly just to shorten it a little bit. But I like the thrust of it. It's sort of like a frequently asked questions type of document.
The problem is, not the problem is, but that is very accurate information. But the question that's always asked is not that question. The question is asked when you have a declining school population, you still have a increasing cost, which
go on, sir.
No, I just want to say, unless you really understand how the system works, it's hard to say, listen, you still have to maintain a certain level of everything. No matter what, you know, you have 300, or you have
Our budget currently is the same level it was in 2013 when you adjust it.
Oh, that little note, really?
Yeah,
that's a good point.
Yes.
So that's what I'm saying. This doesn't go into what's going on behind the scenes. It's just showing you that the budget really hasn't changed that much, and in fact, in terms of constant dollars, it's gone down substantially over the last, 3 or 4 years.
So I feel like there's a lot of explainers, but this is the most important part, right?
Is that going to go into that budget?
We can add it as another link on the page.
Yeah.
Just for people, this is a complicated analysis, right? But if someone wants to read it, they're welcome to read it.
Because the gist of it, I wanted to play with it a little bit to see if there's a way to summarize some of it up front, put like an almost like a 1-2-3 line summary, which is basically our budget isn't really changing much if you hold constant dollars on it.
Yeah. You can tell he's an editor.
Yeah. I'm sure it's very well written. I just personally wanted to get comfortable with the numbers because I just haven't had a chance to.
Yeah.
I went and checked his math. I found the one where he transposed two numbers, but the rest of it, he and I, agreed on it.
Yeah. But yeah, this is
the message of it.
This right here is the key thrust, right? Like,
yeah,
we are actually paying less per $100,000 of assessed value than we were in 2001. However, we're paying more because our property values have gone up, right? Like that's the gist.
Yeah,
and the other side of it too. We have a lot of choice students in various times, which was a huge revenue source in there, which isn't really reflected that accurately in the budget process. So that's there's no way in hell you can possibly explain that in this process. Yeah. I mean, that's so far in the weeds.
And like I said, this is detailed, but it's at a higher level. It's just saying this is what the budget's trending. And the other message you can take away from this is that we don't have a lot of fluff in the budget. And if you look at it, and this is, see that drop up there? That's right after COVID.
Mm-hmm.
So we're back to like 2013 or so now.
Yeah, there's no.
That's the best thing right there, the graph.
Yeah.
You don't have to read anything.
No.
Yeah.
It's adjusted for inflation. I think everybody understands that. It's a simple idea. Whenever you're talking about what somebody was worth at a certain period of time, in today's dollars, it would be this. And everybody understands. I think that's an easy concept. Yeah. I mean, I can understand it. So
yes,
I think it's an easier concept than actually.
Well, yeah, understand. And
I think it was really kind of him to do this because most people just complain, and it's nice when somebody steps up
does something
to help with explaining things.
He's a board member. Obviously, he's vice chair of the Board of Education, and so it's nice to have other folks who are not officially on the finance committee.
And I think it's safe to put something up like this because it's not saying vote yes or vote no. It's not making telling anybody what to do. It's just providing another slice of the data so you can see what things look like if you hold it in constant dollars. There's no crazy spending spree going on. In fact, we've lowered the budget.
Well, effectively. This is the clincher, though, is who's going to answer the questions that is not us. I mean, if he's if someone's willing to.
Well, this isn't for Board of Ed. I mean, we
do. No, they have questions on the Board of Ed specific numbers.
You can always take
This is not specific to the Board of this is for the whole town.
This is for the whole town. So you could just take that last one off.
Yeah.
I see which way this whole thing goes. But I have a tendency to think that it's more of a worldly thing where property values are higher and the way the quality of life has changed. So it's just the value of your residences are higher. It doesn't do anything else. It's not. It's not that anybody's making more money. So that it kind of skews.
You are making, but you're
making more money.
The net hasn't gone.
Everything has gone up since over this time period. The valuation of your property has gone up. The amount of money you're making has gone up, but the value of all of the money has gone down because of inflation. Right. So then you adjust all of this to account for that, and you really haven't changed much.
Well, it's a nuanced analysis.
I see the property values as being here, and the value of the work and everything that's done in town is still here. But the property values are here. That's why you're paying less.
Yes.
But the value of the work that's being done in town is not here because it has to go up because we have to increase wages and all the costs that the town is
going to the same rate.
Right.
The property values are just high. So we're all very fortunate to have high valued assets.
Right. Which it gives you equity.
They're wonderful if you need equity and want to sell. And if then it really, the thing is, it doesn't really affect how much you pay in taxes. What really affects is what we need to keep the town running.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Right.
It's, you can have $1 million home and, if we don't need that much money overall, your dollar amount you're going to pay is going to go down.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
It's nothing to do.
Well, it is because it's showing that what we're paying for taxes is less now than it was before.
For $1,000.
Because the value of the house is so high.
Yes.
Right? Of course. So that's not to say that.
Because there's $4,000 for us to take a tiny little piece out of.
And you can't touch your asset either unless you want to sell it.
Yes.
No, you could take out a HELOC or a line of. I mean, we all take equity out on our.
That's what it's there for. Until you get my age, then it's in your.
Well, there's also a benefit too if somebody wants to do a
right.
So if you're also cash strapped, it's also a benefit if you do a reverse mortgage.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, there's a
number of different ways to look at
property.
It.
Wonder if the senior center's done that some workshops on the reverse mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
people are concerned about being on fixed incomes and. They feel that the taxes are very difficult to pay.
Reverse mortgage is a trick.
You
have to figure out what realistically is your life expectancy.
And some debt that you're going to come
back. It's not quite as bad as going to the casino, but it is a bet. This is where I'm going to pack it in.
Yeah.
So I can make it to here. Like if I go beyond that, I'm screwed.
Like an annuity. At a certain point, you start making money over what you put in, and you're betting you're going to live long enough to do that. And the holder of the annuity is betting the opposite.
Exactly right.
So Ashley's going to take a look at these numbers.
Mm-hmm.
We, if Ross and Ashley are okay with it, we're good with posting that as an additional link.
Yeah.
In the meantime, everything else, all the other links are good. and the final document I just shared
yeah.
is good. And we can post that as soon as and potentially that, tomorrow if Sue Ellen has one time.
Pager I have to do, which I can do okay. now too.
Yeah, I'm good.
Which is the updated message from the finance committee.
Well, it's the updated message from the finance committee, excuse me, and the town clerk.
Oh.
It's going to be, I have to play with it to make it fit in one page yeah. now because they're going to add a couple of things.
60.
Thank you, Mandy.
Yeah.
Good job. Yeah, no, it's fine. That's a good, you know, this time of the year, it's, sunshine breaks at 5:36 o'clock. Well, I want to get up and out. I got a dog that's assisting. So.
Yeah. So, do we have anything else we need to go over?
No, I think that's it.
Then I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
I'll move.
I'll second.
So, motion made and seconded. We can adjourn at 7. Oh, wait a second, 7:54.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Mr. Jonathan.
You're welcome.